Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, I looked at that text and I thought, race. Here's a question. Do you think I could run a marathon today? Nah. For a number of reasons, it's more likely that I would die than I would cross the finish line. But how about in 2 months? Could I run a marathon in 2 months when the weather changes? Well, the reason I can't run a marathon now is not because of the weather. You see, it's not what's outside that's the problem, it's what's inside that's the problem. But how about if I took those 2 months and trained carefully? Could I run a marathon then? Maybe. How about if I trained for a year? Perhaps. So you see, we've gone from dead to maybe to perhaps. And that's progress, isn't it? The text this morning uses the metaphor of a race to communicate the process of developing Christian maturity. Think on that. Specifically, the writer uses the term for an athletic contest, an Olympic-style competitive event, like a long-distance run, like a marathon, the 26 miles. Even a one-on-one wrestling match, a fight to the finish, two people, as long as it takes. Bearing the fruit of the Spirit is not about the intensity of a single encounter with Christ. It's about the Spirit of God at work to bear fruit of consistent character over time. It's running a marathon. All this is to encourage us to see that daily training is a crucial aspect of the mature Christian life. As it is, it's just as crucial to surviving a long-distance run like a marathon. So, ponder this. If Christian maturity is a marathon, are you trained and ready for it? I'm just going to turn
pulpit mic. I'm fine with that.
If Christian maturity is a marathon, are you trained and ready for it? Are you training to become ready for it? Doing what it takes to compete or even just survive and cross the finish line? Over the next 4 weeks, I want to look at four key things that become part of anyone's training program. When it comes to the marathon of maturity, for us as Christians, I want you to think about the life of prayer. We need to think about Bible reading, not simply respect for the Bible, but time in the Bible. These will be the kind of things I'll be pressing you on. Not how much do you respect prayer, we all do. How much are you praying? Not how much do you respect the Bible, not how much do you know about the Bible, are you in the Bible? We want to look at repentance, and we'll talk about how critical the practice of repentance is to bearing fruit in the kingdom of God, and then finally, service. These four things work out for us as regular daily training to bear the fruit of the Spirit, to be mature people who make a difference in our world. Now, if we were training for a marathon, there'd be several things I'd want to think about. The first would be resources that support me in that. The first thing I'd have to get to run a marathon would be good shoes. That's really about the only equipment. But I'd want to get those shoes. I'm going to need somebody like a personal trainer to help me plan something and hold me accountable. Even better, I might want to get a running partner. Back earlier in my life when I was running regularly, one of the things that made it work for me was somebody to meet and go work out with. I needed resources that would support me in that. Maybe even I get an inspirational book. Now, will a book help you finish a marathon? No, but if it can help you plan and train, it's a resource that'll support. The next thing about training for a marathon is sustainable increments. If I were to go out and do all my training for the month this afternoon, I'd be dead. But if I begin 5 minutes, and tomorrow 5 minutes, and the next day 5 minutes, and then the day after that 5.5 minutes, I'm going to have to start slow. But you see, sustainable increments, steps that make a difference. You've got to start running. You'll never cross the finish line of a marathon if you just think about the marathon. You've got to start running. Not much at first, but you start and you build systematically over time. And typically what happens, and really what you'd want to happen, would be the habit of a lifetime. A healthy lifestyle is not preparing for one marathon and then accomplishing that and going back to Popeye's chicken every day. It's about attaining a goal and then maintaining a life that's been shaped by that goal, living the life of steady running. So resources that support sustainable increments and the habit of a lifetime. I want to think of those things as they would empower your prayer life. And so I want to start with resources that support prayer. You'll find in your bulletin, in the sermon outline space that we give folks, some resources that I've given you that have been helpful for my life. Over the next weeks, I'm going to be real practical about some things I've learned over the course of my life and read it just this week, put it into great words. Maturity is not about what you know. It's about what you love and the habits of your heart. That if you love, that will motivate you. And these habits of life, day by day to the well, will begin to bear new fruit. So what I want to do over the next month is more than just give you knowledge. I want to give you keys to taking steps, to evaluate what do I need in training, what does my heart love, how do I support that. So look at some of those resources. The first thing I want to say about a resource that will support prayer is a time and place, a definite time and place. You want to know where you're going to meet with God and when and how to get that started. It's not a catch and catch can thing. Think about the people that you know in your life who have a prayer life that you'd love to grow into. Are there any people like that? Have you seen anybody with that sort of prayer? Do they just pray when it's convenient? You don't get there from that start. So the first thing that's critical is to set a definite time and a definite place. I'm going to meet God here. I'll get up, I'll do this, and then I'll get time away. Or maybe your schedule works better with a lunch break. When I was in Virginia, in the suburbs of D.C., the commute was the big challenge, and many folks began to build their prayer life after the commute home. Before they would drive back to the house, they would stop for 10 minutes and pray. And I don't know a family that wasn't more happy to have a husband or a mother who had prayed before they came home after that day. You might be 10 minutes later, but you're different because of the prayer. So set a definite time and place. Anybody see the movie War Room? Did you see that at work? A definite time and a place. You may benefit as well from a person, a particular someone who can pray with you, like a personal trainer, a prayer partner, or a prayer mentor. If you're willing to pray with someone, my guess is that a person with a strong prayer life is willing to pray with you. Now, the way you learn to pray is not to talk about praying or to share prayer requests and then go home. It's to pray. Find someone to pray with. So a definite time and place, a definite person, and then grab resources, things that will encourage and build you. I use a journal and will keep notes. I've found that's important for me to hold that thought in prayer if God speaks something to my heart, if I have a particular need, and it reminds me with consistency and gratitude. I love the blessing jar. How many of these blessings were from months ago that if we didn't stop and give thanks now, our lives would just rush on past? Does that happen to you, or am I the only one? We need to stop and think and reflect. It's amazing to stop and look back over a prayer journal. a month ago, 2 months ago, 6 months ago, 6 years ago. Mary Lynn and I, as we were thinking about the new year, talked about where we were January 1st last year. Wow. Has it been a journey? But has God been present? A journal helps do that. It reminds me for consistency and gratitude. I've given you some books that have helped me. Plan this year to pick one of those books and read it. Find a way to get input for your prayer life. One of the things I've benefited from extraordinarily is, you'll see in the bulletin there, called Prayer Mate. It's an app that goes on my iPad and my smartphone. You can get it any platform. How many of you have ever run into somebody and said, oh, I'll pray for that, and then forgotten? Don't raise your hand. Actually, it's not a problem. We could all raise our hand, couldn't we? See, what Prayer Mate has helped me do is take those prayer requests of the day. Sometimes you'll give me a prayer request and you'll see me go right to my phone. It's not that I'm ignoring you. It's that I'm putting it someplace I'll be reminded to pray for you. In Prayer Mate, I've been able to, right on my phone, get a feed daily from Scotty Smith to pray the heavenward prayers. He's got two books in my list of resources there for you. On my phone, if my life is blowing up, I can press Prayer Mate, and it's going to give me an opportunity to pray with a guy named Scotty Smith. And that's a good thing. This summer, I'd gone to visit the son of a friend of mine, a ministry associate. His son was in jail for the third time and was looking at long time. It was a real problem. I remember sitting down across the window from that young man and sensing and seeing that he'd not come to grips with his issues. Every now and then you sit across the table from somebody and you know they're feeding you, oh, let's call it a bologna sandwich. And my heart was broken. Not just for him, because he's got a tough life ahead of him with that kind of heart, but for his mom and dad who've been kind to us and who I dearly love. I remember sitting in my car in the parking lot at the Rappahannock Regional Jail, pressing Prayer Mate and praying with Scotty Smith. I drove home encouraged and connected with God. That's part of the training. I pray for each of you as members of this church each week, because I've set it up on Prayer Mate. If I'll go to a definite time and place, and I'll have the discipline to open that and to see your name, see your children's name, see where you live, and listen for the Spirit and pray for you by name, I'll be able to say to you on Sunday, I prayed for you. There was a moment in ministry for me where I just got tired of thinking, I wish I'd prayed for them and didn't. I went from a desire to the discipline to the delight. That's a resource that helped me, that could help you. The other thing that comes into Prayer Mate is a daily feed from World Outreach. You know, last year I prayed for every nation on the globe because it brought up daily a different country with a brief explanation who was reached, who was not reached, and what the needs were. Wow. You want to talk about energizing the way I watch the news at night? I remember praying for that country. And that country. I can't look at a globe now without thinking of the countries I've prayed for and the move of God across the globe, across peoples. Do you want to be a part of that? Here's a simple way to do it. Stop by the office. I'll help you configure it. I can't think of anything more glorious than all of Grace Church praying together Scotty Smith's daily prayers and Operation Outreach, World Outreach, praying for every nation. Can you imagine? Find a resource that helps. That's one that's meant a lot to me. So I encourage you with that. I'll help you configure it. It's simple. Can you imagine a resource so that next year in January, and I ask, how's your prayer life? You can say, well, I got started, but this year I prayed for every nation of the globe. Wow. Are you going to train in such a way as to cross the finish line? Or will you just keep being like me and unable to run a marathon? What do you love? Sustainable increments for prayer. I encourage people to take one step forward from where you are. Maybe your prayer life is already solid and fruitful. You've trained for a marathon and you can face the challenges of life with a marathon. That's great. What you'll need is simply to refresh, keep it restarted, keep it going. That's great. Many of you, I can see the fruit at Grace Church, have that sort of prayer life. Stay refreshed. Keep your training. Move forward. But for the rest of us, the word I encourage is one step forward. If you honestly look at your life and say, you know, there's not a five-minute period in my life that I set aside with no distractions except prayer. Go from none to 10 minutes. Take one step forward. No guilt. One step forward. If you're praying for 15 minutes, consider 30. If you're just reading prayers, opening up your daily bread or whatever devotional book you might use, consider adding 5 minutes of free prayer, praying out loud to pursue God. Consider keeping some personal prayer lists. Maybe you just write something down so you can pray regularly. What's the one step forward? And it's always best to fit in the life that you are living right now. I'm perfectly aware that suppose you're a single mother with children and a part-time job and caring for an aging parent with Alzheimer's. That life is already pretty full. Don't try to change and build a prayer life that you'll never be able to maintain in the life you've got to live. Find a way to fit in your one step forward in the life that you're living right now. There have been seasons in my life where I would get up to head off to work before Mary Lynn and the kids were awake, and I'd get home after they'd gone to bed. I didn't have long times in the scripture or in prayer, but I never let go of something. So let it fit into the life that you're living now. Like my friends in Virginia, they would commute home for an hour, hour and a half, get off the bus into their own car, and before they pulled into the driveway, they'd pull off into a parking lot and spend 10 minutes. They took one step forward in the life they were living. Let that be a sustainable increment. It's best to fit into the life that you're living now. Now, let's be honest. You may need to change some things in your life to really move forward in the life of prayer. It's like that for running a marathon. You may need to give some things up. One of the things that really refreshed my prayer life years ago took a great sacrifice. You see, I'd been staying up and I'd watch the news clock, and then I was so disgusted, I just had to watch MASH for 30 minutes. Well, after I did that, I couldn't get up and pray regularly. So I decided to give up MASH. And then I was so disgusted, it was easy to give up the news. So I gave something up to gain something else. I gave up MASH. But I met my Savior in a more regular and life-giving way. If you're spending more time with the Daily Show than you are with Jesus, let me suggest to you, you may need to change your life. LSU football, Chip and Joanne, don't know what yours is. But ask yourself, sure, fit it into the life you live now, but maybe, just maybe, there's some things I could stop and get closer to God. Finally, make it the habit of a lifetime, friends. As you start or take a step in the life of prayer, realize that you're signing up for a lifetime. There will never be another day in my life that I don't set aside time to pray. That's the goal. And I'm taking this first step. I'm taking one step in the life that I'm living now with the resources I can find because I want to alter what I do for the rest of my life. Seasons will change. You'll have to adjust time and place and resources. That's all fine, but you're signing up forever. Let me tell you something I've noticed. Pagans pray when life gets tough. Now, those are Jesus, help me prayers. And Jesus is free to respond and do what he wants. But shouldn't our prayers be different? Shouldn't our arrow prayers, and I pray plenty of those prayers in the moment of desperation, but shouldn't those arrows be crafted in quiet time, waiting on the Lord, hearing, building those arrows so in the moment I'm ready to go? Even pagans pray when they're desperate, and God in his love and mercy for you will keep you desperate if that's the only time you pray. Boy, can I tell you stories. I know that we're in the South, and here everyone will say they pray for you. But will you actually do it? Step forward. Be one. Friends, this thing about prayer, everybody respects it. Everybody wants to. Even politicians will say in response to loss or crisis or tragedy, we're remembering the victims in our prayers. Just for once, I'd love to see in a published daily schedule of any politician, of any party, 7 to 7:15, praying with the vice president. But if they were to look at our daily schedule, could it be we have no stones to cast? For once, I'd like to see that time of prayer in a daily published schedule. How much more should that be the case for you and me as the people of grace in Rapides Parish? Remember, Jesus invited his disciples on a prayer marathon one night. Will you join me and pray in the Garden of Gethsemane? And he'd come back. Could you not tarry for an hour? See, for many people, an hour of prayer may be as challenging as a marathon for me. But you build resources, sustainable increments, the habit of a lifetime. Are you ready for your marathon? Are you training with that marathon of prayer in mind? Martin Luther, when once asked what his plans were for the following day, answered, "Oh, tomorrow I must work, work, and work from early until late. Why, I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer." The rest of his hours were different because of those. He is a man who had trained. If you start this training and make a step forward in daily prayer, let me ask you a question. This prepares us now to move towards communion. If you dare to take this step and move forward in the life of prayer over the next year, will God love you more than he does now? No need to answer. But think about your first response. If you're like me, the right answer often springs to mind, but if I'll dig a bit deeper, I might realize that I'm saying one thing and doing another. Parents, we've all struggled with this. You ever told your child, "I'm going to discipline you because I love you," but if you'll step back in the moment, what's really driving you is that you embarrassed me. Sometimes we need to move beyond our answers to our heart. Will God love you more than he does now if you pray? The answer is no, he won't. If you want to start this adventure of prayer so that God loves you more, you're already moving with a motivation that'll fall apart. I want you to hear something, friends. God already loves you more than you know. And all you have to do is look at the cross and remember him in this table to realize God has already loved me while yet a sinner, while yet prayerless, while yet broken. That's why I want to know him in prayer. You see, God won't love you more because you pray, but in your prayer, you will connect more with the God who loves you. That's where the change comes from. How many of us are living with a great inheritance that we've never touched? But as we build the life of prayer daily, we dig deeper into all that God has for us. Daily prayer will never make God love you any more than he already has at the cross, but daily prayer will put you in touch with that love more and more each day of your life. Let's pray. Father, teach us to pray. And I pray right now that people would sense a call